B-Pod Studios.
7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank, financial solutions for your business. In this hour, we'll continue to talk about Bryce Harper, continue to talk about the 76ers and Joel Embiid. We'll also talk about this. Interesting stuff in college basketball last night.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both locally and afar. All right. We have Villanova, unfortunately, lost to Georgetown last night. That happened.
Yeah.
Is this the first win for Patrick Ewing against a top 25?
This was a signature win for him.
The big win against Villanova last night for Georgetown, unfortunately for Villanova. And then Georgia versus Mississippi State. Something happened in this game that was just absolutely incredible. And I don't pretend to be some kind of huge college basketball fan, but when odd things happen, they tend to catch my attention. Something very odd happened in that one. And then another issue in Duke UNC, probably the big story of college basketball nationally, Zion Williamson gets injured. He injures his knee, slipping in the first minute of the Duke UNC game, which, by the way, if you paid those Super Bowl type prices for those tickets,
pissed.
And Zion Williamson leaves in 60 seconds, what you paid for.
You want to write a letter to Nike.
Yeah,
that's, you know, why are you pinning this letter begging Bryce Harper to come and play for our city?
Yeah.
How about write a letter to Nike for the shoe that was put on Zion Williamson, which decided the game?
Mm.
But you know, I picked Carolina for this one though. You know, just you know.
So what are you going to write a letter of thank you?
Nike. Well, I just knew that Duke wasn't going to cover the spread. It was a 9-point spread.
Well, so in case you didn't see the story, Zion Williamson slipped in the game, injured his knee. Left the game in like a minute, and now people are starting to throw shade at Nike. Sorry, I said it again. People are starting to voice their disappointment to Nike on Twitter. Did you see what Puma did?
Yeah.
So Puma,
because they just made the big basketball push last year. They got like 5 rookies.
Yes, and let me just say, I myself am a Puma man. Nike gets added by Puma. Puma tweets out, "Wouldn't have happened in Pumas," and then they deleted the tweet.
Yeah. You can't delete. You gotta stick it out there.
Yeah. It's out there forever.
Yeah.
You got to think. Somebody got injured. This wasn't like he slipped and fell into a bunch of cups of water, and it was funny, and he was fine. He got hurt, and he had to leave the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of people are upset about that. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But plenty to get to. Plenty of meat left on the bone when it comes to Bryce Harper and Joel Embiid right now. As Joel Embiid will miss at least a week when you think about it, because the reevaluation of his left knee happens in a week. We don't know if that's going to be a good or bad thing once they reevaluate him, whether or not it's going to be positive or negative. We're hoping for the best, but the history with JoJo has not always been in that favor. Now, something else we'll get into in this hour, MLB Network. During their show, I believe, MLB Now, and I got to find the fan's name that actually tweeted us this clip. Dan O'Dowd, former GM in Major League Baseball, I believe of the Rockies, was his team.
Nick Gorman is the guy that sent it in.
Nick Gorman. Thank you, Nick. Dan O'Dowd of MLB Network was not exactly saying the best things about Philadelphia.
Good.
And we'll play that. And we'll also let you hear from Eric Burns, former outfielder. I think it was mostly with the A's and maybe the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, Diamondbacks is where I remember him from.
I remember him with the A's because I was at a doubleheader that he played against the Phillies, and I saw his lovely lady friend. For 18 innings.
One that you don't forget.
Nope.
He's got a hateable face. I'll give him that.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, very hateable.
And I don't really think he's that good a broadcaster. Like, listening to him try to construct his argument.
Well, he's like that weird, wacky, wild kind of Cali bro.
That's fine.
Type of guy.
As long as you make sense.
Yeah.
So does he tweet, "Suck, kid"?
I wouldn't rule it out.
I think he was actually in the original "Suck, kid" video, to be honest with you. Let's get Marvin in Texas. We'll let you hear both those guys coming up in this hour. Marvin in Texas, what do you got on Embiid, brother?
Well, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing today?
Good.
Man, the whole narrative that Joel Embiid is going to miss a week, I find that, preposterous. I mean, because this is the Sixers. A week to them means about 3 months. So my thing is, I just hope he can make it back by April. The main reason that I called in, though, is because I'm reading an article on Clutch Points, and the guy says, you know, he's going on about Brett Brown saying that we've known about the injury for a few weeks now, and, you know, and he was like, that's, you know, preposterous that you wouldn't have sat him out earlier, and I agree with that. But what really got me going was that he went on to say that the Sixers, with or without Joel Embiid, is not a title contender, that this organization is delusional and that they're mind-boggling. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm going, how are they not a title contender? You got five guys on the court when combined, like when you average all of their averages, they're averaging 97 points a game. And then you upgrade your bench with Jonathan Simmons and James Ennis and Boban and Mike Scott. So to me, I mean, that screams title contender right there. And then you got like all of the teams, the teams ahead of you right now, none of them are perfect teams.
Yeah, they're far from perfect, but the Sixers, here's what the problem is. Most of them are perfect against the Sixers as of right now. I mean, that's the big issue. That's the big problem.
But here's what a lot of people are missing. They're perfect against the Sixers when the Sixers didn't have Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris on the court. So, I mean, the Sixers are 0-1 when they have Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris on the same team.
But their only win is against the Raptors when they didn't have Kawhi Leonard.
Right, and I understand that, but what Brett Brown said, this is the third team he's coached this season, and I truly agree with that. If not the third team, definitely the second team, because once you add Tobias Harris into the mix, this team has a new dimension to it. There's a new level that you have to unveil with this team, and different pieces are going to be playing different roles in this team. So the offense now is a lot different than when it was in November.
It is a lot different, but still they have to be able to play together, and they're not going to do that if Joel Embiid is going to be missing games, especially games against top tier talents. Like, again, the rest of the season is supposed to be easy, quote unquote, for the Sixers. They have the second easiest schedule the rest of the way, when you compare them to the other top teams in the Eastern Conference. But the first five games you're playing, not necessarily all easy games. Still got the Pelicans, still got the Thunder, you have the Warriors playing, you're hoping he's back by that time. But even the Heat have given you problems in the past. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you're facing a different team now that you have Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and those guys, and hopefully a version of Ben Simmons that's another year better. But that's the concern. Will they actually step up and beat those teams without Joel Embiid in the lineup? Because they're trying. They have to make a big push here. They have to win at least 17, 18 games in the last 24 whatever of the season, because they want to be able to catch the Pacers. And you can't just, the Pacers don't have Victor Oladipo, they're going to suck. They won six games in a row. Now, they did lose their last game before the All-Star break, but they won six in a row before that. In 11 games without Victor Oladipo, they're a game over 500. So you can't just count on them to fall by the wayside. You have to take advantage of your own opportunities and not just look at a team like the Pacers as if you just know they're going to fall apart. Let's get Mike in North Carolina up here. What's going on, Mike? Rob?
Hey, fellas. How are you today?
Good. What happened yesterday? We got cut off.
Everything went dead. You lost all your calls. I hope I wasn't the cause and the effect of that.
No, we got a lot of construction going on here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But you know, I got a question. I don't hear anybody raising this point about JoJo, fellas. That last game against the Knicks, remember that little dive he took into the stands? How much of that could have caused this soreness in the knee or took soreness that existed and created more of an issue? When it comes to the Sixers, in a lot of ways, their medical staff, I don't always trust what they have to say.
Yeah, to answer your question, I don't think it was anything. It's not a contusion. So if it was a contusion or something like that, I'd be a little bit more concerned. This seems to be something that's more wear and tear,
I guess. Like it. To me, it sounds like it's tendonitis.
Well, that's what Brett said yesterday. He said there's a little tendonitis in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's ice cold.
Because we're in a stretch right now, fellas, where I don't see very a margin for error. I don't see this team going to a finals, even an Eastern Conference finals, coming out of the fifth seed. I could be wrong, but I really believe they need a minimum of a fourth, and I really think the preferred slot would obviously be a three. So when you talk about these games coming in front of us, to your point, Mark, probably the most difficult part of our schedule for the next 24 games, probably over the next, I would say, seven games.
Exactly, and you can't miss them during that time.
It can really, really hurt your position going into those playoffs. And the thing that I question, because I know he's such a gamer, JoJo, especially with this game against Oklahoma, I can't imagine with the way he and Westbrook have gone at one another, he doesn't want to play. I mean, he's got so, I'm just hoping it's not more than what the Sixers are telling us.
It's not.
The other thing I wanted to raise, fellas, I know I don't have a lot of time, but look, whether we get this Bryce Harper or not, let's put him to the side. There's 100 other free agents out there. Should we not get Bryce? What are the moves we need to do, fellas, to get this roster to compete in the most, well, I'll say competitive division in the National League when you look at the East and the talent in that East this year? That would be my question to you. Where do we go from here, fellas?
Pitching.
Got to get arms.
I know Dallas Keuchel isn't exactly the Cy Young candidate that he once was, but he's still a pretty damn good pitcher. You're probably going to have to overpay for somebody who's here's the thing. He's 31 years old, but he is a lefty, so you hope you get those extra lefty years out of him if you do sign him to a longer-term deal than you'd really like to. But they need another pitcher. You can't just rely on just Aaron Nola and then have the maybes of Jake Arrieta that hopefully he has another Cy Young caliber season. I think that's all just dismissed by fans now, as it should be. But you hope for a good year from him. You hope for another step forward from Vince Velasquez, who seems to be up and down every single year, and Nick Pivetta takes another step forward. You can't just hang your hat on that. You need to go out there and get somebody who you know can come in here and give you a chance to win every time he steps on the rubber.
So would we have been in a better situation to maybe throw that third year for a J-Hap or extend that, what's his name, Colburn, or is that his last name, that went down to Washington? Would we be in a better situation
Corbin.
If we went after, say it again?
Corbin,
that's it.
Yeah.
Would we be in a better situation if they were in this the starting lineup or the starting rotation from a pitching perspective, as opposed to waiting the way we waited to go all in, supposedly, on a Harper or a Machado, and now we're sitting here with nothing. And guys, look, Harper, I don't think he's going to thrive in a Philadelphia market with the media and the fan, a New York market, a Boston market. He's going to be much better off in a Washington that they just don't care.
Here's where I'll disagree, Robin. I got to get going. Thanks for the call, buddy. Here's where I'll disagree. He tried to create that atmosphere in Washington. He tried to be an intense player in Washington. And I think he's welcoming. All of a sudden, because this is dragging out, it's like dwindling his personality. I don't think he is that small-minded. I think he wants to play in a place that is going to pay him the most money. I think he is after the dollars. I think he's going to go after the place that's going to give him the big bucks. We'll let you hear from the guys in the MLB Network coming up in a few, but we still got this going on because the Harlem Globetrotters are coming in at 8 o'clock. In honor of them, it's not all negativity today. What makes you happy in sports? You mentioned the Globetrotters. Right away, people have smiles on their faces. Mm-hmm. What in sports? It's instant happiness. 610-632-0975. We got a pair of Temple tickets we're giving away to that for a game this Saturday. The Harlem Globetrotters, though, coming to town March 1st through the 3rd as part of fan-powered world tour, including one game at the Lea Coors Center Friday, March 1st, one game in Trenton Saturday, March 2nd, and two games at the Wells Fargo Center Sunday, March 3rd. We're going to have Speedy Artist coming in here from the Harlem Globetrotters, a Philly native, East Germantown, not too shabby. Gwen and Mercy alum, talk to him, as well as Zeus McClurkin as well, coming up at 8 o'clock. Time of the Fanatic, 7:15.
Sixers back from the break. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. The Sixers are back from the All-Star break tonight when they face the Heat in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, they will be without Joel Embiid. Embiid is experiencing left knee soreness and will undergo treatment involving physical therapy and load management. He will be reevaluated in 1 week and could miss at least 4 games. Other injury news, Furkan Korkmaz is out indefinitely with a torn meniscus in his right knee. The game will tip off tonight at 7 o'clock, and you can listen live right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Flyers also return tonight after their Tuesday night loss to the Lightning. They are facing Montreal, who they trail by 8 points for the first wild card spot. Puck drop will be at 7:30, and you can listen to that on WMMR. Scary moment in last night's Duke-UNC game. Future top draft pick Zion Williamson had a shoe malfunction and sprained his knee. He will have an MRI today, and there will be an update later on for his status for the remainder of the season. Duke ended up losing at home 88-72. Villanova lost to Georgetown last night 85-73. We know you're busy, so we made it easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for daily best of show podcast. I'm Andrew Salchunas on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Marcetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody, for Zed and Trey in the Morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, the day off today. Andrew Salchunas on
the update. Days off, Trey.
You know what?
Did you ever notice that?
Yeah. Mark, how did Sam get 2 days off?
She said, I'm taking 2 days off.
Huh. Interesting.
Look at the evil eyes I'm getting over here.
No. You're talking to the Lou Gehrig of radio over there. No time off.
I'm taking time off at the end of April.
Oh. So you're taking time off?
Yes.
Oh. Bob.
Then the end of April 2023.
What's going on? And EJ, he's
at a radio conference. Yeah, the boss man.
Everywhere.
Yeah. 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 Hey, guess what? The
just
boss.
So happens to be in L.A., but you know what?
Yeah, the boss is away, kids. The boss is away. Mm-hmm. Kids will play.
Yeah.
You have an interesting tweet there. Now, I tweeted out, it's getting mixed reaction. My tweet to Bryce Harper. And yes, it is in the voice, if you will, the tone of Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I end it with, maybe we can have a catch, Bryce. Maybe
that's nice.
You know what? I didn't go that I'm a bald man and that he has beautiful, wavy, beautiful, gorgeous hair. Salon quality hair, if you will. But there's another tweet at Bryce Harper that Trey found. And Trey, how's that one go?
All right. So this is from a man at... Nick, I don't even want to
Nick.
Try to.
That's fine.
At DIPASQUALE 4.
Mm.
All right. So I didn't even want to try to pronounce that.
That's fine. It's Nick.
Yeah. He has a long, long letter, tweet that he sent to Bryce, but it starts out, listen, you son of a. I don't get this hold up. I mean, I partially do get it. You want all the money that you can in this free agency window that you have, but. GD, man, Philly is dying for you. Philly will love you. I've been living in Philly for the past 24 years of my life, and I know what this sports town is all about. I've seen the 2008-12 era of the red hot Phillies, the championship in 2008. I've sat through the process with the 76ers and what's turning into today. The gritty, tough Philly Flyers grinding it out every season, and our beautiful Philadelphia Eagles winning our first ever Super Bowl last year. Then he goes on.
Wait, this is all a tweet?
Yeah. This is like a three-part. It's
threaded you?
Yeah. No, it's like but then he moves on. Let's see. We didn't want the bum Machado. We want someone who doesn't take sugar honey iced tea from anyone. Someone who's willing to knock a pitcher's teeth down his throat from time to time. And if it's needed, maybe choke a female dog like the female dog boy, Papelbon, or whatever. I don't know.
Papelbon. Yeah,
there
Jonathan
you go.
Powell, he's a closer for the Phillies.
Yeah. You come to Philly, grind it out, show the city you're not one of those half blanks.
All right, well, Nick had a lot of time on his hands.
Texas.
We appreciate his passion.
Sugar honey iced tea. Seriously? And you'll be an effing legend.
All right, that's the passion that we're
Let's
talking
go,
about.
Bryce Harper.
Mine was a little bit more brief.
Yeah.
And to the point.
No, I mean, I think that was good.
That was passionate.
Yeah, exactly. I think that kind of sums it up. Look here, man. We'll love you.
I forget who I was talking to yesterday, but they were just talking about how we always look at ourselves as passionate, where other people describe us as not nice people. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and my response to that was, here's the problem.
Screw you!
A little bit, but my issue was that Philadelphia always gets, I think, misrepresented by a lot of people because we are the type of city that tells you, yes, you look fat in those pants. Like the best friend test?
Yeah.
You know, you got something in your teeth, got something hanging from your nose.
Yeah.
We're the people that go, yo, dude, hey. And guess what?
You got a boogie hanging.
We did you a favor, all right? We're not the people that are afraid to tell you the real thing. Like, we're very honest people.
Unless you talk to each other like family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you treat, once you welcome that athlete in, he becomes family, and there has to be that there's a line of communication that just happens that you wouldn't talk to somebody, a stranger, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they hold you accountable.
You're not half in, you're all the way in.
All the way in.
Unless your wife asks you if I look fat in these pants, then no.
Oh yeah, whoa, I'm not talking about the missus. I'm talking about us as city related to our athletes.
Nah, babe, you look great.
Jamie's on thin ice at home anyway.
Yeah,
so,
the cuffs are on.
Yeah.
The baby's coming.
Not going to see him no more, Trey.
Do you get how many passes do you get, Jamie, to go out? Like, how many bar passes?
No, I don't know. I think I've used them all.
You've used all.
He's into another game. He's used so many of them.
610-632-0975. Let's try Mike in North Carolina. See if we got him. Mike, you there, buddy?
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Hey, bud, what's up?
Sorry about that, guys.
All good.
Yeah, did they run out of characters with that tweet or what? Man, that was long.
it was a three-parter.
Here's what I hate on Twitter. Mike, real quick, if you get a thread from somebody, that's like, okay, all right, the Twitter is for brevity. But then the other thing is, and I noticed this yesterday, I started getting a lot more notifications for no reason. Like, I didn't tweet anything. And I looked, and people were arguing. But with like a tweet I tweeted out yesterday morning, they were arguing, and I'm like, "Damn it, guys, take me off! You can take me off of this. I don't need to hear your back and forth."
Yeah, seriously.
What's on your mind today with Harper? There, my friend.
I don't get it. Yeah, just I don't know if anybody. I haven't heard it, at least. How about throwing it back at the agent and just saying, "Look, you know, enough is enough." You know, put the onus on them. Say, "Look, if you don't make up your mind within a couple of whatever, you know, we're out. We're out on them altogether." And then they're stuck holding the bag because who's going to pay them then? How many teams are really left that are interested in them?
Right now, it seems like it's down to two, maybe three, if you count the Washington Nationals. Supposedly, the White Sox are out of it. The Nationals, depending on who you believe, are in or out of it. But right now, the two steady teams that are in are the Giants and the Phillies.
Okay, so what are the chances of him not getting the money he wants because of the games that they're playing?
I think he gets the money he wants.
Yeah, he's going to get the money
he wants.
This
doesn't end with the player losing. Like, look at Manny Machado. Manny Machado was originally looking at $175 million from the White Sox over, what, 8 years? $175 million. He got $125 million more dollars. This doesn't end with the player going, "Oh, shucks, I lost." This never ends like that.
Yeah, it's just getting depressing how long it's taken, that's all.
No, it absolutely is getting depressing. Mike, thanks for the call, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good day, guys.
And I want him to come. I definitely want him to come. I think that he's definitely worth the money. But, you know, when you get the reports about, oh, he doesn't like the city or whatever it is, then that's where I'm not going to get into the business of begging someone to come and play in the city.
Yeah, I'm not going to get in either. I'm just going to flatter them. I'm just going to tell them how great they are.
Has he lost some of his popularity already, even though he's not, if he becomes a Philly?
Look, opening day, no. But as of right now, it's going to be what the hell took so long, and then it'll start to rev up as opening day. Once we really see him in spring training and see him with the Phillies jersey on, I think that's when things will really start to turn. It'll go away from that anger and that lack of patience. And look, it's not even a lack of patience. He's already exhausted it. But I think once we see him in that Phillies uniform, that's when the excitement will really start to build.
I think once he signs, everybody's, you're right there on it.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, I think the reaction's more like, oh, okay. About time.
Yeah. What took so damn long?
Yeah, and then maybe, like you said, Mark, maybe it's when the uniform gets on and you actually see it. But yeah, right now I'm just sign somewhere. I mean, I don't care. Just sign somewhere.
So here it is. Dan O'Dowd is on MLB Now. He's on the MLB Network, and they do a show MLB Now. And shout out to our listener for tweeting
Pete
this.
Nick Gorman.
For tweeting this at us, saying that he caught this on MLB Now.
And O'Dowd is a longtime Rockies GM.
Rockies GM, and he asked a question of Cliff Floyd, I believe, was on the panel with him, a former Met. About factoring in when you're in free agency, where you're going to play, not just for the money, but also factoring in the fan base and the city itself, those outside influences. Here's Dan O'Dowd.
Markets and fan bases, and do players factor that in based upon their own personality and how they approach the game in making these kind of life-changing decisions?
I don't think they do as much as they should. I know I didn't. I went for the money.
Gotta love the honesty.
Yeah.
Gotta go wherever they paid me. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that with the Mets, and he said that came second to him. the fan base and the outside influences came second to him. And he said he wishes he thought of that before, because all of a sudden he's in New York and he's getting booed by his own fans. And he's thinking, well, what, huh? Like, I didn't, this hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
This is new to me. So I thought that was an interesting point. But then Dan O'Dowd goes on to talk about the Philadelphia fan base here, about the pressure that we put on. Listen to this.
When I look at those two fan bases, it seems like the Giant fan base is way more forgiving on its players day in and day out. I mean, they are exceptionally intelligent fans, really understand the game of baseball. But the Phillies fans, it's like a whole different level of accountability and sometimes flat out anger. Like, you can't take any time off in Philly at all. Okay. I mean, running balls out, making plays defensively, showing up to compete every day.
Oh, geez.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So if you're that type of player, this definitely isn't the city for you.
Well, excuse me. Sorry we asked so much of our players. This is Sean Bradley. Sean Bradley, remember the big lanky center or whatever? Sean Bradley, oh, the problem with Philadelphia is that they expect you to play every day like it's game seven. Sorry we want you to love your sport. And sorry we want you to be the best possible player you can be. Dan O'Dowd using that as a negative for Philadelphia is just absolutely atrocious.
Wow.
Sorry we have a demand of our players. Sorry that when fans in this city pay their hard-earned money to go watch players play that are making top dollar, we expect them to try hard. Are you serious? Like, that's a negative against Philadelphia?
That's such an ignorant statement.
It really is
such an ignorant statement. If you expect fans to be less than that, then you don't know what a fan is.
No. And so it shows you how out of touch he was in Colorado with his Rockies. Like, are you serious with that?
Yeah.
Oh, Philly expects you to play hard all the time.
They're going to expect you to, they're going to be over, they're going to be critical, and they're going to, come on, man.
Here, look, being in the quote-unquote professional world, I think anybody looks at anybody else that they work with, and I think everybody counts somebody else's paper. You shouldn't do that, but I think a lot of people do. I think most people do. That guy's getting that money, and he's doing that. Well, I'm doing this. I should be making that. Well, I think everybody does that. Can you imagine in baseball when it's all out there?
Mm-hmm.
When the numbers are out there? I mean, even in football, Trey.
Yeah.
Did players do that? Would they talk about stuff like that in the locker room?
No, they don't talk about money.
You never talk about money?
No.
Gets brought up in regular workplaces all the time.
Okay.
I hear people complaining about it, hear people talking about, oh, that guy's doing that, and he's paid that, I'm only making this, I should be making that. I think a lot of people, no matter what work environment you're in, people are talking about that stuff in the workplace. It shocks me if it doesn't happen in football. In baseball, when the numbers are this astronomical, I can't imagine how, when a player is lollygagging down first base, or even maybe having the first half of the season that Bryce Harper had last year, mm-hmm. where he was hitting 200, I can't imagine a player looking at him and going, hold on a second, this guy's only doing that, and I'm doing this, and I'm only getting paid that. Like, that's got to get brought up, and that's got to be in some people's heads.
Elton Brand said that to me one time when he was a player. He said, you know, I could go out in the offseason with another player, and we'll have dinner or have lunch or whatever. And he said, at any point in time, it happens that you look at each other, the other guy could be talking, and all you're thinking is, yeah, I make more money than you. Or why do you make more money than me? Like, he says it's always that's part of the competitive nature.
Mm-hmm. And you want to know how you really know? You want to know how you really know? It's that it always comes out that you're waiting for the other person to balk in a game of chicken. You're waiting for that other person to blink in a staring contest. And Manny Machado blinked first. Bryce Harper's now going to go out there, and he's going to get paid top dollar. And if we could get the Buster Olney cut real quick. This was very interesting. Buster Olney's podcast yesterday introduced something mind-blowing to a lot of fans, because I threw out the number $400 million even before the offseason started, just in anticipation of Manny Machado and Bryce Harper being available in the offseason as free agents. I thought that they could actually get to the number $400 million. Well, Buster Olney yesterday, while talking about this whole thing on his podcast, brought a number up.
Because of that emotion now involved in it, knowing, you know, Scott will sometimes do the smoke and mirrors and the options, deferred money, whatever it is, it would not shock me if Bryce's deal, when it's first leaked out through one of Scott's guys in the media, it's going to have the number 4 in it.
Mm. The number 4 in it. Hmm. Now, is that 340?
Yeah.
Is that $400 million? Is that $304 million? Like, the number four. Do you actually think that it's $400 million? Buster Olney was talking to two other baseball insiders about it. I said again before spring training started, excuse me, before the offseason started, that it was going to be something that was astronomical. $400 million wouldn't be out of the question. Since the other reports came out, I don't know. Seems like it's at least possible, but could he be meaning $340 million?
I don't know.
No, I went right to 400.
Yeah. Did you jump to that?
I think everybody. Like, do you say four if you mean 340?
No,
I don't think so. No.
So does that mean that they would go to a 13-year deal? Would that be a Giancarlo Stanton-type deal? 13 years, $325
million? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think you cap it at that 10. But, I mean, whatever.
Wait, 3-10 or 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did end up going to 13.
Hmm.
But here's another reason why. He's only 26 years old. It takes him until he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
Like, or 40. Like, that's pretty incredible. I don't see him doing it, but again, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, wouldn't surprise me either.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. First time for you all morning. Wide open lines for you if you want to jump in right now. If you want to get on the Bryce Harper. Is $400 million completely out of the question? What are your thoughts on that?
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy. But here's the other
part. I don't care.
Yeah, well, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not my money.
I hate using that cliche because I know a lot of people think, oh, well, what about ticket prices and parking price and all that stuff and concessions? All right. Do you want to see your team win?
Yeah.
But do you want to see another World Series?
And there's a return on investment that comes with somebody of his magnitude.
Totally.
So cry me a river, Middleton.
Yeah, what did you put out yesterday, $100 million?
I mean, I would have to, you know, I'm no mathematician, but I would think he's $100 million plus.
Do you want the face? First off, as an owner, do you want to look like a baller?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. John Middleton does.
Wants his damn trophy back, I've been told.
As a team, do you want to have the face of baseball on your team? Until Mike Trout is on an East Coast team, he's not the face of baseball. Mm-hmm. Even as the best player in the game, he'll never be the face of baseball playing for the Anaheim Angels. Can a guy like Bryce Harper be that? Absolutely. He is that right now. The face of baseball comes to your organization. You're the talk and toast of the town with him here. You got to make it happen. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from the 76ers, all things they had to say about Joel and Bean.
A lot of BS going on there, Mark.
A lot of BS. We'll sift through that, Bob. I know you got some things, some quotes from Brett Brown that are very interesting, and we'll walk through them coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
No Embiid for at least a week. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance customizes your coverage so you only pay for what you need. Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote, and you could save. The Sixers are back from the All-Star break tonight. They will take on the Heat in Philadelphia. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock, and you can listen live right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Unfortunately, they will be without Joel Embiid. Embiid is experiencing left knee soreness and will undergo treatment involving physical therapy and Bob Cooney's favorite term, load management. He will be reevaluated in 1 week and could miss at least 4 games. Other injury news, Furkan Korkmaz is out indefinitely with a torn meniscus in his right knee. The Flyers also return tonight after their Tuesday night loss to the Lightning. They are facing Montreal, who they trail by 8 points for the first wild card spot. Puck drop will be at 7:30, and you can listen live on WMMR. Scary moment in last night's Duke-UNC game. Future top draft pick Zion Williamson had a shoe malfunction and sprained his knee. He will have an MRI today, and there will be an update later on for his status for the remainder of the season. Duke ended up losing at home 88-72. Villanova lost yesterday to Georgetown 85-73. We know you're busy, so we made it easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for daily best of show podcast. I'm Andrew Salchunas on 975 The Fanatic.
Marzetta and Trey on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's happening, everybody? Hope you're having a very pleasant morning. Weather better today? No snowfall? All that stuff? That's happened yesterday. We're good. It's supposed to be like 50 degrees or something today.
I was making dinner last night, and I had the news on. The whole half hour of the news was about the weather. I'm looking outside. It was raining.
Yeah.
We do live in the Northeast. Yeah, we go crazy over 2 inches of snow that laid there for a couple of hours and then got washed away by rain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's unfortunate.
I just don't get how we overhype.
I did what Britney said.
You did what Britney said?
Yeah, man. Got that little bottle of wine.
Oh, Britney Schiff, yes.
Yeah, Britney Schiff. You know, watched an amazing movie. You know, watched Instant Family.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great movie.
Hmm.
Really enjoyed it.
Instant Family?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Marky Mark is in it.
Oh, I'll watch it then.
Yeah, it was cool.
Marky Mark.
Yeah, Marky Mark. Marky Mark. What is his last name?
Wahlberg.
Wahlberg.
Yes.
Yeah. I am terrible with pronouncing names, so I apologize to everyone because I will butcher a name.
That's fine.
So, yeah.
No, you nailed it. Marky Mark.
Yeah,
that's Marky still, Mark. I believe, his legal name.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah, totally. No, everyone
you know what
it.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, we all knew. It doesn't matter.
I wanted to get into this in a minute, but Zion Williamson, I talked about it earlier, got hurt last night in the game. The guy is number one pick, right? The guy is going to absolutely have an incredible NBA career. And because of the one-and-done rule in the NCAA, or in the NBA, I should say, he is playing that 1 year in basketball. Mm-hmm. Now, you could do what a guy like Emmanuel Mudiay did, which was go and play in China and make, what, $2 million?
Yeah,
I'll do that. Like, I'll go play in Spain, or I'll go play in Italy, or wherever in Europe, Australia, I don't know. I'll go play professionally and get paid. If I'm a high-touted NCAA talent, I'd rather go somewhere, put some money in the bank, and then go play in the NBA after that. But Zion Williamson wants to play at Duke. He wants to play at Duke, and now he's out with an injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out. It happened in the game last night against UNC. But, Jamie, you had an interesting take on this.
Yeah.
If you're in the Zion Williamson camp, his dad, whatever, if you're his family, are you telling him, get healthy and go play at Duke once you're healthy again?
Absolutely not. I say, Zion, if you fall six spots in that draft in the first round, that's a difference of $7 to $8 million guaranteed dollars. You are shutting it down, my man.
What a loving father you are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he wants his kid to make top dollar.
Yeah. I want my kid to be set for life.
It's not about the first contract, though. It's all about the second and third, though. Especially with basketball. They sign, 3-4 year deals, and they're always back at the table again. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but
Markelle Fultz got paid like $35 million to be the number one overall pick or something in that ballpark.
He's played 35 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey, if you're...
Because the scale in the NBA is a little... It's, you know, if you fall to like 7 or 8, you're making $23 million. Something, you know, it's like... It's a big difference. I'm not letting them risk it.
Trey, as a loving father to an athlete, what would your advice be?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, I'm saying shut it down, son.
Yeah, go train, go get healthy, get yourself ready for the draft.
My first thing would be like, I hope you like China, because guess what? We're going to China, and that's where you're going to play basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to think that, you know, I would just say, hey, man, you can't leave your team hanging. If this is something that you're committed to, this is something that you're committed to.
But if it happened to any of those other guys, would they quit? Would they make the business decision?
Not worried about the other guys. I'm just talking about if it was my son.
Yeah, but you're worried about... Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
If I'm talking about my son, you know, if this is the commitment that you made, then you got to see it through.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with Trey.
You know,
you
got to see it through. I mean, this was... It was an unfortunate accident. I mean, you know, the shoe exploded, you know, and it wasn't a major basketball move that he made, but the shoe just exploded. And then it was a minor... It was knee sprain or something like that.
That's all it is right now. That's all it is right now. But the idea is, if it's worse, then should he even consider...
I mean, if it's worse, then they only have a couple more weeks anyway.
Yeah, March Madness, obviously, right around the corner.
So, I mean, you know, it's... I would like to think, you know, if this is something that you're committed to, then you got to see it through.
Yeah, if it's R.J. Barrett, I mean, I wonder if he's thinking the same thing. Like, am I even going to bother playing again if I have an injury this late in the season? And it could have... Look at Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid missed 2 years. It's funny. I remember going back after maybe a year of Joel Embiid's first year as a pro, where he was injured all throughout the year. I remember going back to read the Kansas game story. And I remember the game, and I read the thing, and it just said something to the effect of Joel Embiid, slight back injury, expected to miss a week.
Yeah, and
2 years later,
it almost looked, because of the way he busted out of his shoe, it almost like the hyperextension-ish of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of, it's just like where all your weight falls on like a kind of a ligament. Mm-hmm. It looked a little, it's just something I wouldn't risk. There's too much money on the line for a corrupt system. Look, the NCAA is a bunch of crooks.
Totally.
And they're making money off of his back, mm-hmm. and he's got money on the line. He's got to protect his interests. Screw Duke. Screw Coach K. Screw everything else. I'm Team Zion and nothing else.
Exactly. Yeah,
I can't go there. I can't. If that's my kid, I think I would put it in his hands first, yeah. and say, you know, what do you think? But I also think that I would raise my kid, and I know my kids, if they were in that position, they wouldn't. They wouldn't quit on their team. Because I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying this is my opinion. I can't quit on someone that's invested on me, being Duke, being Mike Krzyzewski, being other players who said, hey, let's go to Duke together and we'll play together.
Yeah, but they're like profiting off of him.
Okay, but you're
more
letting,
than he's helping them.
But you're looking at it as a business aspect. I guess I'm looking at it more as an 18-year-old playing basketball, and he has an obligation to those who he said, yeah, I'm coming here to play, to the players that he's playing with,
get
to
some
the
better
coaches
shoes
that he's playing for. Okay, again, you're looking at it as a business-wise. I'm looking at it like, look, be a good human being and keep your promise.
Because when is that quitting stop? You know, because once you put that in him, then it's going to always
be. See, that's where I'm at, Trey.
Well, I mean, I think there's a difference between
why do you come first?
Well, no, see, that's quitting, though.
Yeah, I'm not about you come first all the time. And I understand, Jay, when you're talking to millions, yes, it's Zion Williamson, he comes first. But no, in life, you don't always come first. And I'm sorry, I think that's the lesson that you need to learn. Like, you're here for others, not just yourself. Mm-hmm.
He can be a good person and donate some money to charity. With all that extra money he'll be making as a top two pick.
Okay.
But it's not about the first contract. It's always that second and third. And the NBA, I mean, you know, what if he falls to a couple spots and then, you know, what, you sign another deal in a couple years where you're at that top tier, you know, pay.
Hopefully.
Assuming he gets there.
Yeah. Assuming he gets there.
Well, that's,
and assuming that this injury is just nothing but a mild strain.
Yeah, right? I just think there's too much to risk for not enough in return.
All right. Let's see. We got Mark up here at Chad's Ford. Let's talk about Zion. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys, thanks. Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Quick question for you. And first, full disclosure here, I'm an NC State grad, I'm a Duke hater. But what I can't figure out in this whole process, guys, is how come, and would love to get your opinion on this, how come Coach K gets a pass on this stuff? With the bench that he has and the first-round picks he has on his team now, with one guy going down and he's whining already and he's crying, I don't understand how come no one challenges him and says, well, coach him up, coach. You got some of the best talent in America. How come you can't still win? I don't understand how he gets a pass.
Coach K?
Yeah, Coach K. How come no one's challenging Coach K and saying, okay, granted, I get it. Zion is phenomenal.
Right.
He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
But still, you got a bench full of blue chip first round draft pick, coach him up. You got to figure out a way to take the talent that you got and win with it. No?
No, you absolutely do, but that's why I wanted to clarify, because Coach K is holier than thou. Like that, I agree with you. You are right. If a coach in Philly said what he said about, you know, you're obviously going to have gaps when you lose the best player. I mean, people are going to raise their eyebrows. I think he said something that was obvious. I think he was the most political he could have been about it last night after the game. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to be ripping Coach Krzyzewski.
Well, he gets a pass.
Yes,
time
he does.
And time again,
I agree with you, Mark. I'm not combating that. I'm just telling you why he gets that pass.
But because he coached the Olympic team with a bunch of all-stars that you and I could have coached.
And he's also going against, I mean, I'm not taking Krzyzewski's side, but he's going against the number 8 team in the country, a veteran group, a very good North Carolina team.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like, okay, you lost the game. You lost your best player in the first minute of the game. Things change. You lost the game. It's one game. What are you supposed to do, rail on Krzyzewski that he's not a good coach?
Yep.
But that's my point. That's why I was like, wait, is he talking about Coach K?
Yeah. Like, look, I'm not sitting here saying he's a saint and he's the greatest of all time. The guy's a damn good coach. I mean, you can't take that away from him for one game.
I don't even like calling him Coach K because I feel like that's like, oh, familiarity with
Coach
him.
Coach Ratface, I think, is the official term.
Coach Krzyzewski just really takes it out of you. And then when you say it and you're not used to saying it, there's a chance for a little slip up in the middle.
Who would you less rather be than somebody in Nike PR today, though?
Oh, man.
Somebody in Puma PR?
No, that's a good move. They should have stood by that.
They should have stood by
that. That's good marketing. Right away, right?
In case you missed it.
Yeah.
So as Trey has accurately described, Zion Williamson's Nikes exploded basically last night. Not like Galaxy phone exploded, but like exploded on the court. And a lot of people were trying to shame Nike. So then Puma responded to the injury, to the shoe exploding by saying, wouldn't have happened in Pumas. To which then they quickly deleted. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.